Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 30, Activities of the Prachetas. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord of the Universe, You are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that Your Lordship is the ultimate goal of our lives, and we pray that You will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than Your full satisfaction. Purport. In this verse, the words Apavarga Gurur Gati are very significant. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 11, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate fact of the Absolute Truth. Rameti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shabdyate. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. The word apavarga means liberation. Pavarga means material existence. In material existence, one always works very hard, but is ultimately baffled. One then dies and has to accept another body to work very hard again. This is the cycle of material existence. Apavarga means just the opposite. Instead of working hard like the cats and dogs, one returns home back to Godhead. Liberation begins with merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Lord. This conception is held by the Jnani Sampradaya, philosophical speculators. But realization of the Supreme Personality of God, it is higher. When a devotee understands that the Lord is satisfied, liberation or merging into the effulgence of the Lord is not very difficult. One has to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the impersonal Brahman effulgence, just as one has to approach the sun through the sunshine. It is not very difficult to merge into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, Brahman, if one has satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Asaviva vrosmakam ikshito jagatapate prasano bhagavan yesham apavarga gurur gati. Translation. O Lord of the Universe, You are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that Your Lordship is the ultimate goal of our lives, and we pray that You will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than Your full satisfaction. Prachetas are praying here for pure devotion. They don't want anything. They don't ask. They say, this is our benediction. Our benediction, what we want from You is that we can satisfy You, that we can please You. We don't want anything for ourselves. There is one verse that's spoken by Srimati Radharani. It's quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where she says, I don't care anything about my own happiness, O Shyamasundara, O Krishna. I don't care anything about my happiness. I only care about Your happiness. In fact, if You find happiness in making me unhappy, then that unhappiness that I experience will make me feel very satisfied and happy. In other words, she's saying, even if I'm unhappy, if making me unhappy makes You happy, my unhappiness becomes a source of happiness because I see that You're pleased. So this is the mood. We're reminded here by the Prachetas of the mood of pure devotion exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan, specifically Srimati Radharani. The complete selflessness, not thinking anything of themselves, only thinking of the satisfaction. The Prachetas underwent great austerities, and when they were offered a benediction or a boon, this is what they replied. This is the benediction. Bless us. Give us the boon or the blessing or the opportunity that we can always satisfy You, somehow please You or satisfy You by our service. This is what's being stated. We do not desire anything other than Your full satisfaction. This is called selflessness. In the material world, everyone is selfish, not selfless. The self, what is the self? In Sanskrit, the word is Atma. Atma means the self. It means the body. It means the mind. And it means the soul. But when the materialists, when the non-devotees, when we say they're selfish, they are concerned with the self, but only with the limited definition of the self. They're concerned with the body and the mind. What makes my body happy? What makes my mind satisfied? There's no concern with the soul, because that is the beginning of self-realization. Atma-tattva-gyan. Brahma-jigyasa. When one inquires about Brahman, so the devotees, they are selfless, not that they don't care about their bodies, minds, or soul, but they don't care anything for their own satisfaction. We are not eating to satisfy ourselves. We are not sleeping to satisfy ourselves. We are not engaged in any activities for our own satisfaction. At least, that is the highest aspiration. The highest aspiration of the devotee is simply to eat for Krishna, to sleep for Krishna, to work for Krishna, everything for Krishna, for His pleasure. And we're trying. Our spiritual masters are engaging us in such a way in what we call selfless activity. Sometimes the materialist, they will describe the activities of the Hare Krishna devotees. They will say, they are tireless workers. They are selfless workers. This is very nice. When they write in the newspapers, yes, they are working selflessly. Because everyone in the material world is working selfishly. And what is the result? Simply pavarga. Pavarga. Prabhupada explains here, in this verse says, apavarga gurur gati. And then he says, this is very important. Apavarga gurur gati. And he explains in the verse that this word pavarga means material existence. Prabhupada was very fond of this Sanskrit word, pavarga. And he would often speak in his lectures and write about it in his books. And it's explained that pavarga is a combination of five different Sanskrit letters. Pa, 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 and ma. And it probably would explain each one. First is pa. What does pa mean? P-A. P-A means parabhava. Parabhava means material existence. In material existence, we meet with defeat. We're always meeting with defeat. Everyone is struggling very hard. They say, they have an expression, survival of the fittest. But actually, Prabhupada would laugh at this phrase. He says, no one is fit and no one survives. Who is fit and who survives? The big strong man, is he fit because he has physical strength? No. He will be defeated. Pavarga or Parabhava. He will be defeated. Or is the rich man who is surrounded by opulence, money, influence, position, will he survive? No, he is not fit. He will also be defeated. Parabhava. So not by wealth, not by strength, not by position. No one is fit and no one survives. But yet, yes, everyone is struggling and no one is surviving. So this is parabhava, means defeat. We are trying in our own way through science, through exercise, through education, through development of talents or strengths. We are trying to conquer birth, death, old age, and disease. But we're being conquered by these things. Everyone, every living entity. This is parabhava. So that is the first Sanskrit letter that is used in this word, pavarga. Then the next one is pha, P-H-A, pha. This word is phena. What is phena? Phena means the saliva or foam that appears on the mouth when one is exhausted. Just, we have a great experience of this. Just like Prabhupada would talk about the camels, hogs, dogs, and asses, and how they are engaged in different activities. So when we come to India, and especially Vrindavan, we can see these camels eating thorns. One devotee told me he was taking pictures on Brajmandal Prakrama. He took a picture of a camel eating thorns, and then he took a picture of Vidbujam. Vidbujam is a stool-eating hog. And then like this, camels, dogs, hogs, asses. And there's so many asses here carrying heavy loads of clothing. So we can see all this. So in the same way, the Sanskrit word phena, we can also see in the tungas. The tunga means the horse carriage. It's called tunga. And the horse is carrying, little tiny horse with spindly legs. He's carrying 10 or 20, fat people or so much, sand or so many things they carry, mostly people. And you see on the mouth of the horse, there is phena. This is foam. This foam or saliva appears on the mouth when one is very exhausted. He works very, very hard. He's running or whatever. This is foam. So this is fena. So people, this is an explanation. This is a beautiful explanation of the material existence. This struggle for existence. This Sanskrit word pavarga. So it's pa, and then ba. Ba means, ba means bandha. Bandha means bondage. Karma bandhana. We hear in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, how to get free from bondage? Yajñartad karmano nyatra, loko yam karma bandhana. This word, karma bandhana. Bandha means bound. We are bound. What are we bound by? The limitations of this body, the limitations of the mind, the limitations of the world. We are bound at every moment. So this is bandha or ba. And then the next one is ba. B-H-A means bhiti. Bhiti means bhayam. Prabhupada's name was Abhay. Abhayam. This means no bhaya. Means fearlessness. But viti or ba means fearfulness. Everyone is afraid in the material world. We are afraid of so many, the unknown. We are afraid of death. Who is not afraid of death? Prabhupada used to challenge. He says the materialist will very proudly and boastfully say, I am not afraid of death. I am not afraid of death. But my dear sir, when we put a gun to your head or a knife to your heart, immediately you say, oh please, please don't kill me. Please don't shoot me. Because you are fooling us, you're faking, you're actually, everyone is afraid of death. You can say so many things, but when you're confronted with the stark reality of imminent death, then you become very afraid. But you can say and boast anything. So this is bhiti. And the last one is ma, which comes out va. Pavarga or ga. Ma means mriti. Mriti means death. Mritu. This planet is known as Mritu Loka. This is the planet of death. Everyone is dying here. Is there anyone who has conquered death? No. So this word pavarga, this is means the material existence, everything in a nutshell. You can see there is defeat. We struggle so hard to conquer birth, death, old age and disease, but we're defeated. The scientists are defeated despite all their inventions and all their new medicines. They're also defeated. And then we work very hard, and what do we get as a result? Exhaustion. So, and then there's we're bound. Even though we work so hard, we don't get free. Sometimes you see, if you have an empty bucket in your room, you have one bulti, one bucket, and there may be some cricket, small insect, and he jumps, he's flying, jumping around the room, and he jumps inside the bucket. And he's stuck inside the bucket, steel bucket. And you look inside, and he's jumping. And he's simply sliding. He's jumping up the side of the bucket and sliding back down. Why is he? He's working very hard. Why is he working so hard? Because he wants to escape. He wants to attain freedom from that bucket, from that confinement. He's in confinement. He's in the prison of the bucket. He wants to get out. And he's working very hard, and he's getting this fena. He's foaming at the mouth, working so hard. But he's not getting any result. How will he? He'll never get out of that bucket. He'll jump, and what will happen? He'll die. But what? How can he get out if someone that is out of the bucket brings him out? It's a very simplistic analogy. So some person, some compassionate human being comes who's not stuck in that position, and he turns the bucket upside down, and he liberates the cricket. He frees the insect that is trapped inside. So in the same way, apavarga gurorgati, if we want to attain a destination, we need the guru, the spiritual master. Because he's not contained in this material world. He's not in pavarga. He is apavarga. Apavarga means the opposite of bondage or material existence. It means spiritual existence, liberation. He is liberated, and he can liberate us. So this is what the Prachetas are saying here, that Krishna, he is the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. Prasanno Bhagavan Yesham Apavarga Guru Gati. He's the ultimate goal of our lives, the Gati. So what is mentioned here is that this concept of guru, that Krishna is the guru. There's another word that we hear, chaitya guru. Chaitya guru, this means the guru in the heart. So Krishna is very kind to all of us, because To perceive Krishna in the heart is very difficult. It requires intense performance of austerity and tapasya. And this is the whole process of Ashtanga Yoga. To perceive the Lord in the heart, the Paramatma feature. And in Kali Yuga, if we do not live long enough, or we don't have the stamina or determination to ever realize the Super Soul. But the Super Soul is so kind, the Chaitya Guru, who is guiding every living entity, he has stepped out of the heart in Kali Yuga. He has come out of the heart and manifested a wonderful form. He's known as Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the great master, the great deliverer from the ocean of birth and death, the great deliverer from the pavarga, from the material existence. And his name is Chaitanya. Chaitanya, this word is there, Chaitya. Chaitya means this living force, the living force with the super soul, the teacher within. So Lord Chaitanya, he has mercifully come in the age of Kali to teach all of us how to get out of this pavarga, how to attain the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal is pure love, prema bhakti, prema bhumartha mahan. When we ask, sometimes this concept of guru is, of course, a very deep topic. But once we met a person in Vrindavan who was from the West, professor, and the person was worshipping Govardhan. He had one Govardhan Shila. So we inquired from him, who is your spiritual master? He said, I haven't taken any initiation. I don't have any spiritual master, but I accept Vrindavan. Vrindavan is my guru. And I've been coming to Vrindavan for the last 15 years. And I learned so much from Vrindavan. So at first I thought, oh, he doesn't have a spiritual master. He has no parampara. How is he worshipping Govardhan? But then I thought more deeply, and I was realizing that actually, you're correct. Actually, in one sense, you're right. Vrindavan is your guru. Vrindavan is everyone's guru. I said, do you understand what Vrindavan is, or who Vrindavan is? And he said, I have some understanding. And I said, I feel very inspired by what you're telling me, because it's helping me realize how Vrindavan is actually a guru. Because what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is the Chit Shakti. It is the Dham. It is the holy Dham. It's Chintamani Dham. But it's the expansion of Krishna. Krishna expands as Balaram. And Balaram, his whole meditation, his whole activity, his whole being, his whole existence is simply to satisfy Krishna. Just like the Prachetas are praying, our only desire is to satisfy you, O Lord of the universe, Jagat Pate. So Balaram, his only meditation, as all the residents of Vrindavan, as we heard about Srimati Radharani, Lord Balaram's only meditation and aspiration and activity is simply to please Krishna. So he, Balaram, expands his feature of Sat. We have this Sat Chit Ananda, or Sandini Sambit in Ladini. These different potencies of the Lord. So the Sat feature is the existence feature of the Lord, the eternality feature. This feature, this energy of the Lord provides for the pastimes, provides a facility, a place for the Leela of the Lord, for a Krishna to experience the highest satisfaction in Madhurya Bhav. So Balaram, he expands his Vrindavan. Vrindavan is Balaram. The land of Vrindavan, we're sitting on Lord Balaram. We're not sitting on a marble floor. We're not sitting in some mundane place. We're resting on Balaram. Just like Balaram expands in the material world is Anantashesh. He has five different expansions. So Anantashesh, what does Anantashesh do? Anantashesh holds up all the material universes. The material universe is like a mustard seed on the head of Anantashesh. So the whole universe is resting on Balaram. So when we come to Vrindavan, we're sitting on Lord Balaram, we're walking on Lord Balaram. See how kind he is, how merciful he is. He's providing the facility not only for Krishna to move everywhere in Vrindavan and have his loving pastimes, but he's providing for all the devotees to move here and there also. So since Balaram's other feature is the guru, he expands as Nityananda. Nityananda is Guru Tattva. So Balaram is the origin of spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge comes from Balaram. So then you can see the connection between Balaram expanding as Vrindavan and how Vrindavan can be a teacher. Because Balaram is the original teacher. He's Guru Tattva. Nityananda Tattva, Guru Tattva. We say the Guru, the spiritual master, represents Lord Nityananda. He also represents Srimati Radharani. So this person who's seeing Vrindavan as his Guru is actually correct. Vrindavan is a great spiritual master because Balaram is Vrindavan. But, of course, we also know that Krishna himself, when he's speaking as spiritual master Arjuna, he says that one must accept the spiritual master and take diksha from him. So that's also there. So the ultimate teacher of the science of devotional service is explained here. It says, the Prachetas say, "Oh Krishna, you are the actual teacher of devotional service." So the spiritual master, he's representing Krishna. So the ultimate actual teacher of devotion is Krishna. And the perfect teacher of devotion is Lord Chaitanya. He has come to teach himself how to be a devotee, how to love Krishna, how to live in Vrindavan, how to live with the devotees, how to associate with devotees. When you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are so many instructions on Vaishnava behavior. There, Lord Chaitanya is teaching through the example of his devotees, even his own associates, his own mother, Sachimata and Advaita Acharya and others. He's teaching how to actually interact and behave and treat the other Vaishnavas. So to receive actual spiritual knowledge from the variety of spiritual masters that are around us, there is one quality that is required, and that quality that is humility. It says that when one develops actual prema for Krishna, automatically he becomes very humble. Then the branches hang down very low because of the weight of the fruit. Fruit is very heavy. Leaves, they don't weigh very much. Leaves and flowers are very light. But when a mango fruit appears, it is a very heavy substance, a very heavy weight. So then the branches of the mango tree, they bend down very low. So when a tree is laden with fruits or filled with fruits, it bends down. So he was using this analogy that when a devotee is ornamented with the qualities of prema, in verse in the third canto of Bhagavatam, Tatikshva Kurunika, Surida Sarvadevanam, Ajata Shatravashanto, Sarava Sarabhushanam. Bhushanam. Bhushanam means the ornaments, means the ornaments of a devotee, the fruits. Just like a tree is ornamented with fruits, fruits are decorating and hanging on the different branches. So when a devotee attains prema, one of the primary qualities or fruits that exhibited on the tree of his body is humility. He's very humble. And it goes the other way also, that if one is aspiring on the path of prema, then he must also exhibit extraordinary humility. And Lord Chaitanya, he advised us in his 8 instructions that this is the primary quality. Humility. Trinadapi sunichena turoriva sahishina amanina manigena kirtaniya sadahani. Not only did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give us this instruction in the Shikshashtika, but in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Antilila, he explained point by point the meaning of the different aspects of this verse. Why did he use the analogy of a straw in a street? Why did he use a tree? Very nicely explained there in the last chapter of Antilila, chapter 20. So Krishna is very kind to us, as the Prachetas are pointing out. His kindness is that he appears before us in a variety of spiritual masters. The ultimate guru is Krishna. But Krishna is not just one person, but he's unlimited persons. And the spiritual master appears in unlimited forms before us. And the same teaching is always given. The same teaching. Once we are on Sankirtan, distributing Prabhupada's books, and a person, he came up to me and he said, "You have no humility. You have no humility and you have no compassion." And he walked away. Just what I thought was some quote-unquote karmi or materialist or non-devotee or whatever. And then I thought about what he said and realized that it's a fact. If we actually had compassion, if we had compassion for the pavarga or the suffering of the fallen souls, then we would be engaged in Sankirtan all the time. We'd always be distributing books every moment we had, or distributing the holy name, or distributing the glories of Krishna. If we had compassion, we would go out day and night distributing books because we understand that without knowledge, people are suffering in this pavarga. And the other one, humility. course we don't have any humility. Otherwise, we would be experiencing some tears when we chant the holy name. But when the heart is hard-hearted and full of aparads, then not even one drop of water comes when one chants the holy name of the Lord. This is explained by Krishnas Kaviraj. This is a symptom that we're not humble, because the heart becomes very hard by pride. Pride makes, actually, if you want to make a steel-framed heart, you simply have to increase your pride. If you want to have a, just like you want to make a steel vault to protect your valuable jewels or money, very thick steel, impenetrable. So pride is like that. Pride is like steel. And the more proud we become, the more layers of steel we put over our heart, preventing the fruit of prema to be perceived or to be experienced. So this is the primary teaching that Krishna is giving us through his material energy, through the various spiritual masters, to be humble. Because when one is humble, then one can receive the ultimate fruit, the ultimate teaching. We see that in Gurukula, the first requirement in Gurukula is obedience, isn't it? The teachers say that without obedience, you cannot instruct the students. So obedience means humility. Yes, I agree. I humbly submit myself at your feet. You are my teacher. I will obey you. So that's humility. So when humility is there, then instruction can be given and can be received. And when humility is within our heart, then the seed of prema can take hold. It has something to hold on to. We're given a bhakti, seed of bhakti at the time of initiation. But if you ever see it, if you ever take a seed and you sprout it, what first comes out of the seed is two little hooks, two little roots. And these roots are looking for something to hold on to. If you have a seed, if you have a little sprout, you put it down. One little thing goes up to catch the sun, one little like part of the plant, and two little hooks go down. It's called the roots. And they want to hold on to something. So when we're given the seed of bhakti at the time of initiation, what the seed will hold on to is humility. That is the ground of devotion. That is the solid ground of devotion. And when we're given the bhakti lata bija by Gurudev, we have to manifest and cultivate that humility so the seed of bhakti has something to hold on to. Just like you have a seed and there's no ground for it to hold on to, it will dry up. It will die. It holds onto the ground, then it goes deep. It holds onto the ground, and then very firmly, then the roots start to grow deep into that ground. So humility, the deeper and richer the humility is, the deeper and higher and quicker the bhakti lata can grow. So these are some points of the verse. We'll end there if there's any questions. I read the verse again. O Lord of the universe, you are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that your lordship is the ultimate goal of our lives. And we pray that you will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.